So as you can see, we've been in a series and campaign called A Heart for Home. And I just want to thank you for your support, your involvement in our campaign that began several weeks ago. This included a message series that we're calling A Heart for Home. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I preached about why I love my church. Because I love what Jesus loves. The scripture said that he loved the church, and he gave himself up for her in Ephesians 5 and 25. And Matthew 16 and 18, that I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. So I have a heart for home. I've got a passion for the church, for the people of God, because Jesus has a passion for his people. Then last week we looked at a message that we entitled, You Belong Here. And we looked at Ephesians 2:19 and how that God is building a home. And irrespective of where we've come from, we're all a part of that. And we have rights and we have privileges being in the family of God. We also have responsibilities in family life, and we kind of fleshed that out last week. I want to conclude today with a message that is a play on words, but that I'm calling A Heart for the Homeless. A heart for the homeless, a passion for the homeless. Now, a few years ago, I was shocked and saddened when I found out that 235 homeless children and about 65 homeless families and were living in Effingham County. This is not what I found in Effingham back in 1983 when I moved here, but it gives us some idea of the great need. I'm glad that our church is a church of compassion and that we support ministries like Family Promise. We give these families a hand up. To find jobs and help provide shelter for them. It's our Christian duty. And the scripture tells us this in James, that this is faith in action. But there's a greater homelessness than even that. As dire as that is and as much as we need to help and be a part, there's a spiritual homelessness. And it's greater because unless we do our part in bringing people in Jesus' name back home, there's an eternity that they will spend not knowing what it means to dwell with God and have God dwell with them forever. Every one of us, we've experienced this homelessness. So before we shine up our halo this morning and kind of get a condescending attitude toward those that don't know Jesus, it would behoove us this morning to realize that every one of us have known homelessness. We've known what it was like not to be born again in the family of God, to be able to cry Abba in our hearts to God, Father to Him, to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and our elder brother, whoever lives to make intercession, and knowing the joy and the peace and the security and the love and the acceptance. But when we have been brought near again to the Lord, we've been brought home as it was into relationship with the Father through Jesus, it's just only natural and normal that we want to extend this heart, this passion that we have for the Lord to others, so that they can know that security and love and forgiveness and acceptance, regardless of where you've been and what you've done in life. You know, family is the place that when you come back, they have to take you in, right? Some of you might have some 50, 60-year-old kids like that. I don't know. But it's the place that we come and we know that we're going to take each other in. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way we see it in a greater sense in the family of God. I want to look again at Ephesians 2:19, but I want to expand on those verses that we looked at last week. Actually, we just looked at part of verse 19. But in getting a passion for people who are outside the family of God. They've not been born again by the Spirit of God yet. And being passionate about that, I want us to be reminded again of Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 19. And I want to look at it again from the Message translation. It says, well, he's talking about how that we've been brought near to Christ, that he has broken down that middle wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles and made us one people, one family in Christ Jesus and through his blood. And he says, that's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day. A holy temple built by God, all of us built into it. A temple in which God is quite at home. Can somebody say amen to the reading of the word? Now, it's been said that Adam and Eve ate us out of house and home when they sinned. But Jesus Christ is called the last Adam. And he came to this earth to bring us back home. When we put our faith and our trust in him, his mission statement in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10:19, says that I came to seek and to save those who were lost. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. Can all the sinners in here say amen? Amen. I want to yell the loudest. Jesus left his home in heaven, where he spent eternity past with the Father at the right hand of the throne of God, and all the glories and all the adoration of the heavenly beings in worship and honor. He left that home with his Father to come take up residence here. I found another verse in the Message that just turned me inside out with joy for Jesus. It's a familiar passage in John 1:14. And it helps us to see what Jesus did for us. Look at it on the screen, would you? It says the Word. That's Jesus. That's who he is. The Word, capital W, became flesh and blood. He became like you and me. Took on our humanity. Took us for who we were. Took upon himself who we are. And he says, John writes, and moved into the neighborhood. He came and he dwelt with us, lived among us, touched by what we're touched with. John went on to say, not in the Message, but in another translation in this verse, finishing it out, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Say that with me. Full of grace and truth. And John goes on to say, and of his fullness, in verse 17, from all of his generosity and grace and fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. How many of you could lift a hand this morning and thank God and testify that you've received his grace? It's all by grace. And when we did, the Bible says that Jesus made our heart his home. He didn't just dwell among us and they could see him as disciples physically and visibly, hear him audibly, but they received of his fullness and he made our hearts his home. You know, when we think about homelessness, I like to look at Jesus as coming to this earth, willingly becoming homeless. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, concerning him leaving His heavenly presence and heavenly state to come put on our flesh and blood. The Bible says, For you know the grace of God, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might become rich. Jesus says that the foxes have dens and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man does not have a place to lay His head. Now, I don't believe that Jesus was necessarily saying that I'm homeless to the point that I've got to have somebody to give me money every day to feed me till I can get back on my feet. That's not what I take from this. But I take from this that He willingly gave up the glories of all that He experienced with His Father and became poor. He gave up that place that He dwelled in the very presence of God so that He could come and be one of us, be truly one of us without sin in His life. Now, Jesus' critics criticized Him and called Him a friend of sinners. But for Jesus, their criticism was His greatest compliment. It was the greatest title that He bore, friend of sinners. I'm so glad that He is. And the Scripture says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Him." Can you just get the picture? Can't you just see His inviting presence into all of us who know we're sinners? "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered." Have you ever been around somebody who muttered? Well, religious people mutter. And Jesus came and looked religiosity in its eyeballs. And He said, "It's taking you down the wrong road. What you need is to come back home and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father." And the Bible says that they muttered because He was a friend of sinners. And they said this, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." That's what I want Rincon Church of God to be. I want us to wear proudly our welcome home shirts. I want us to, not just physical shirts, but hearts that says welcome home. You know, Jesus went on to give us that great story. That's what precipitated the great story we call the prodigal son. Y'all remember that story? He told a story of a lost sheep. And the shepherd left the 99 and went after the one that was lost. He told them the story of the lost coin, the woman that had 10 coins, and she lost one, and she swept that house until she found that one coin. Then He talked about a story about a lost son, we suppose. It was that prodigal son, and he was wandering. He was homeless. He had wasted his father's inheritance. Am I talking to anybody in this place this morning besides Wayne Merritt? He had wasted his father's inheritance. But when he came to himself and he said, "I'm going back to my father's house. And I would just rather be a servant than I had in this state of being away from home." And he found the father there on the front porch welcoming his son back home. And that not only did he welcome him back into the family, but the Bible says that he made him an heir again. We talk about this story. I like to see it more than just the story of the prodigal son. I like to see it as the story of a father and two sons. Or two sons and a father. Sounds like a moving business, doesn't it? Two sons and a father. But you see, it wasn't just the prodigal that was lost. It wasn't just the prodigal that was wandering. But that elder brother over there, that religious person that muttered because that Jesus ate with sinners and tax collectors. He was in the back 40 and he was muttering because he got a sense that that his father's youngest son had come home. And the father went out to reason with this elder brother, this older brother. And he tried to help him understand that this is the way it is in the kingdom. This is the generosity and the fullness of grace. And you need it too. And you need it as much as him. And you've been here and you've had it all this time. And what are you fretting about? You've had all these riches and all this wealth. And he looked at his father and he said, "That son of yours." That gives us an idea of how he felt. He wouldn't even call him his brother. He said, "That son of you." But listen to the heart of God. He is saying to every one of us, when you and I come home, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Kill the fattened calf. Put the ring on their finger and the robe on their back and the sandals on their feet. For my child who was dead is living again. My child that was lost is found. My child that was blessed blind has come home again to the blessings of God. A Sunday school teacher was teaching this lesson one day and she asked her class, "Now, let's take a little review. Who was it that was not happy about the little brother coming home?" And one little boy raised his hand and he said, "The fattened calf." So, you know, there's always another twist on the message. But this is the heart of God. This is the heart of God. I came to seek and to save those that are lost. I came to move into the neighborhood, God said, and receive my fullness and receive my grace. And this is the heart of God, that everyone come home where we belong. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Where we belong. And once we've come, once we have come home, we need to have that passion. Not like the older brother who was bitter. Not that religious spirit that looks with a condescending eye toward others. But we need to have that passion of the Father that says, "My boy's home. My child is home. He's with me. He's safe and sound. He's secure." We need to have that passion to say, "Welcome home to our community. Welcome home to our family members that don't know the Lord. Welcome home to those students 24/7, or youth movement, excuse me, that you go to school with, or that coworker that you work with." When I think about our area, this Savannah, greater Savannah area, there's a great reminder of how we should be welcoming of others that we could receive into the family of God. But as an analogy, let me give you a little history lesson. That in 1732, you know that the colony of Georgia was established with Oglethorpe. Now, Oglethorpe brought people from England who were hopelessly in debt. And he and King George wanted to give these people who could not pay their debts another home, another opportunity, got them out of the prisons, and he brought them to Georgia. That might explain a lot of why I go through what I do economically, but I don't know about you. But anyway, he brought them here. Just 2 or 3 years later, another group came to Savannah. As a matter of fact, over in Salzburg, there was 25,000 Protestant Austrian Germans that have been given an edict of expulsion. Some of them had only 8 days to dispose of their belongings and get out of the country. Others of them had a few months that if they owned property, real property. 300 of them got into a ship because they had heard that King George said that they could come to the colony of Georgia. Here are these people. And in my mind's eye, I see them standing on the banks of the Savannah River as those Sauls, those Germans sailed up the river there to Savannah, to the mouth of the Savannah River. And there they are. And these Englishmen that have just come 2 years earlier, the history says that they welcomed them. They welcomed them into the colony. And isn't that the way it is when we've been forgiven? Jesus said, "Where much is forgiven, much is loved." and freely you have received, and you freely give. And I tell you, I get concerned about any of us when we get this condescending attitude that we've never been where other people have been. Somehow, I think we forgot the pit from which he dug us out of. Somehow I think that we forgot that we too are sinners in need of a Savior and His forgiveness and His grace and His love in our lives. How about it? Well, we know, I mean, we're right here. In just 2 or 3 miles as the crow flies is where they settled. You know that. You know the history here, the Salzburgers and how that they came. They were driven out of Salzburg because of religiosity. An archbishop, because they weren't of his religion, he said, you've got to go. Isn't that the way religion is? Isn't that what religion does? You don't believe just like I believe, and we've got some differences here that you could, it's like splitting a hair, and you're going to get out of the country. You're going to get out of my sight. That's the elder brother syndrome. That's the muttering of the Pharisees and these pilgrims, these wanderers, these homeless people from Salzburg set up shop right over there. You know, I was doing some research, and I don't want to take this too far, but I was doing some research 2 or 3 months ago on my family. My mother's name, maiden name, was Schumann, and I won't go into all the details because it's not very pleasant, but we can't get but so far back, and there's a reason for that. And, well, we all got our family problems, right? And we couldn't get but so far back, and I was just doing some research, Schumann. And as I researched, I found that there was a Martin Schumann who was a Salzburger. His child was baptized over there, and there's supposed to be a grave over there. I'm going to go find it, of this family. And he was one of the first Schumann settlers in this part of the country. And because I can't prove this exclusively or definitely rather, but because of some family names that he named his son, and then a name that came just a generation or two after that that my great-great-grandfather was named, I just tend to want to believe that that was my great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy. And I just thought it was just really neat that God has called me 33 years ago to come just 3 or 4 miles where maybe my family started, right over here at Ebenezer. But it makes me to know, and it helps me to know, that I'm here because somebody welcomed me into this community. And what you and I need, or welcomed my great-great-grandfather in, but what you and I need is to see the need of how many people need that same welcome home. Welcome in. You know, we're not just talking about just a slogan, but I'm talking about being a prophetic voice to this community. Being a ambassador and a voice for the Lord to tell people there's hope in Jesus. There's forgiveness for our sins. There's freedom from our addictions that are taking us down the tubes. There's hope for our bad relationships that we may be going through. You say, well, Pastor Hal, I'm just going to very briefly just lift up 2 or 3 things here. How that we can have a heart for the homeless, the spiritually homeless that God has called us. And I would say, first of all, follow Jesus as the friend of sinners. I want to tell you, if you are a Christ follower, and I'm a Christ follower, I'm going to be where sinners are. Anybody else? He's the friend of sinners. He's the friend of tax collectors. He's the friend of the outcast and the unwanted in life. And if we are a true Christ follower, we're going to be where sinners are. And I just want to just encourage us. Let's just rebuke and refuse that Pharisaical attitude that criticizes Jesus and criticizes like the other brother, older brother, and acting like we somehow got to separate ourselves from people who need Jesus. You know, there's that kind of that religiosity, that religious mindset that says, well, you know, I just got to be careful who I associate with. Listen, Jesus prayed that you and I would not be taken out of this world, but we would be protected from the evil. And what he's saying to us is, yes, we need to separate ourselves from sin, but we don't need to separate ourselves from sinners. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. He is the friend of sinners. And if you and I, if we really are a Christ follower, we are going to be where sinners are. We're not going to get contaminated. The Spirit of God will insulate you, but He doesn't isolate you. And we need to get out there right in the middle. The worst sinner in the community ought to feel loved and accepted. And as I put that graphic up, as you see it there, it's kind of hard to see. It's dark, and so we could get our wording to stand out. But that door is open. And Rincon Church of God, let's be that community where the worst of all sinners, as Paul called himself, can feel loved and accepted and welcomed. And how do you do that? Well, let's build relationships. Build relationships with that family member that nobody much wants to be around. Maybe that's been helped to a lot of times by others. Why don't you be that person? Build that relationship with that student that's going astray. Build that relationship with that coworker. And again, no, not separated from people, separated from the sin, because Jesus gives us that He would protect us from the evil one, but not to be taken out. And I would say, second of all, come, but then go. We've been talking about a passion for home, a passion for the people of God, a heart for home. And we've been focusing on why we love the church and coming together to worship together as a family of God and encourage each other and support one another and take up for each other in prayer. But we need to have that passion for not only for one another in our worship and serving and supporting and teaching the next generation to be discipled. Yes, we need that, but God didn't call us to live in a holy huddle in here every Sunday, and that's it. And that's the age-old thing that many pastors and leaders deal with. Are we going to be evangelistic, or are we just going to be a museum of petrified fossils? I don't think that came out like I wanted it to. Somehow we just think we're perfect and we've arrived and that's about the way we are. Now, I need the food that I get here on Sundays. I need the food that I get from you encouraging me and worshiping the Lord with me, and the food I get from the devotionals and the Word of God going forth. I need that. But I want to tell you, if all I do is sit around the house and eat and I don't exercise, I'm going to get unhealthy and I'm going to get lazy and I'm going to get, let me just leave it as unhealthy. Okay, that I'm about to get in trouble here. God wants us to come together, but He wants us to go. You know, the first word of the Great Commission is go. As a matter of fact, I want to show you this verse of Scripture that you're very familiar with. And you'll see the process of what God intends for His people, His family, His church. When He was about to go back to glory, and He's resurrected and glorified, and He's spending time with His disciples. Notice what Matthew 28:16 says. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Are you getting this? They're together. And the Scripture says, when they saw Him, they worshiped, but some doubted. Every worship service is the same. How many of you glad that God puts up with the doubting Thomases? And that means me. There's times I come in and I have to doubt my doubts and believe my beliefs. Anybody else? And some of them are doubting. Some of them are worshiping. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now watch this. You've come. You've met with me. I've spoken my authority over you. That's what church ought to be, hadn't it? But then He says, therefore go. We come, but then we go and make disciples. Not only do we go, but we've got a goal. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. We're not just going for the sake of going, but we've got a goal. The Lord wants to expand His kingdom. Can somebody say, I agree with that? Thank you. Then He says, I am with you always. Next verse. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, our problem is in church, and I love our worship, and I love great revivals. But somehow we've got that idea of revival that it's just coming together and being exuberant and having joy and just excited, and then we forget it until we get the next revival or come to church next time. And that's good, and we need that. But some of us get that Mount of Transfiguration problem. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John up onto the top of that mountain, and He was transfigured before them, and they were able to see a glimpse of His glorified state and being. And you remember that Elijah and Moses came down. Now, how many of you sitting in this service this morning, don't lie, we're having church and we can feel the presence of Jesus and we could see Jesus, and all of a sudden Paul and Peter walk in? Well, that's not going to happen, but how many of you would just, wow, that's great. Isn't that wonderful? I believe in signs and wonders and miracles, and I want us to see them. Peter's like a lot of us, kind of sticks his foot in his mouth, got to say something. And he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles so we can stay here. And what I'm saying is that can be our mentality of church. That we just come and we want to stay in His presence. And His presence is glorious. But He wants us to go. And Jesus heard, or they heard, that voice from heaven saying, I don't need 3 tabernacles. Jesus is the only way. This is my beloved Son. You listen to Him. But then Jesus took them by the hand and He walked back down that mountain with them, down into the valley where a father had a demon-possessed son and nobody could help that boy. And he said to the Lord, I brought my boy to your disciples and they couldn't help it. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And He turned to His disciples and He rebuked them for their little faith. Not because He didn't love them, but He wants us to step up and say, we're the voice of God to this community. Build your kingdom here, God. Use me and we can make a difference in what's going on. We come and then we need to go. And I'm just glad that's what this church is about. And we're becoming intentional. And this year, I made up my mind as your senior pastor, and I know that Pastor Les and Pastor Kevin and the other staff, I know they're with me and we're all together. And we're going to be intentional about this thing, about going, about being the church, and not just doing church, and not just coming to church, but being the church. And this weekend, we decided we're going to take a great step of faith as a congregation, and we put together a prayer station ministry at the Oktoberfest here in Effingham. And you know, it's been wonderful, it has. And I thank the Lord for all of you that supported and served any way you could, prayer, whatever. But what a blessing. We didn't do this so that somehow that we could build our empire and we had an ulterior motive. We just wanted to go down at Freedom Park and set up a couple of booths and say, we care about you. And if you've got a prayer request, we're going to pray for you. We love you. We gave out information in our children's ministry, and a booth next to it gave out glow bracelets that had the message of the plan of salvation. And those kids were thrilled to get them. And we gave out information about our church and who we are, and that
It is a welcome home church. We wanted our community to know, but that was not our motive. Our motive was, we want you to know that we're the voice that God, the only voice He has audibly in this world, and that's the church. He's not doing it through angels. He's doing it through His church. Go and make disciples. And these prayer requests on this cross, this is what many people, they took the time to write out a prayer request. We're going to pray over these at the close of the service. And pray for their needs, because we promised we would. Some were open enough to receive a prayer standing right there in the middle of the fair of the Oktoberfest. But the point is that God told us to go. He told us to be the church and not just act like the church. This afternoon, the youth movement will be down on River Street. They'll be giving out bottles of water as an act of kindness. And I know what Pastor Kevin's heart is, and the heart of these teens, these youth. It's that every bottle of water they give out, somehow that the Holy Spirit, through that act of kindness, is going to touch a soul and say, come drink of this water that you'll never thirst again. That's what it's all about. And I'm thankful that our church, more than we've ever done, seems to be getting into our community. And I'm going to expand on that with this very last thing I want to say here. And you know, when you go to preacher school, they say don't ever say in closing, because people just, they shut it down right there. Don't shut me off yet. And not only are we not to come but go, but we're also to gather, then scatter. That early church in the book of Acts, in Acts 2:46, it's an amazing thing. The scripture says that every day, how many of you would say, Pastor, I want to come to church and be with my brothers and sisters every day? Say amen. Well, thank you. I've got 10 of you that'll meet with me. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Every day. They broke bread in their homes, small groups, and ate together with glad and sincere heart. You know, that's what we're talking about when we talk about a heart for home, isn't it? Being the family, coming together, worshiping together. We like to eat together. Not just spiritual food, but physical food. But you know, somehow they forgot about that go message Jesus had given them. To all the world, to your world, to mine, to theirs. They forgot about that. And Jesus had told them, but that's the way we can get in church sometimes. We can just, now they were seeing people saved, don't misunderstand. But they just kind of, you know, it was, boy, we love this. But the Lord allowed a great persecution, if you read Acts 8 and 1. And the Bible says, because of that great persecution, that those who were in Jerusalem, all of them except for the apostles, were scattered everywhere. And wherever Philip and the rest of them went, they took this message. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to wait till a great persecution comes upon us to scatter anybody else. I just want to take Jesus at His word. And the Scripture is very clear that Jesus didn't call us to go be light. He made us light. You are the light of the world, He said. And we shine like stars in a dark place, Paul said in Philippians 2. And you're the salt of the earth. Salt needs to be scattered. Salt in the shaker doesn't do any good. But when you put it in those collard greens, along with some fat back, move over Paula Deen. It's good. We enjoy it. We are the salt. We are to lose ourselves in flavoring our world for Jesus. Paul said, let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer those who are outside the faith. Our lives ought to make people realize their true thirst is for the Lord. We sung it this morning in this first chorus that build your kingdom here. The church is the salt of the earth. We are the preserving factor in this world. And having said that, Rincon Church of God, let's get to that place. Let's get to that place that we see ourselves as a home for the homeless. A difference maker, scattered, going in Jesus' name, hanging out with the people Jesus would have hung out if he'd come to our time, reaching them where they are, loving them, telling them the truth, telling them that there's an eternal life of hope and help for them. I'm going to ask our ushers right now to pass out our cards. Would you get the cards, ushers, and just pass them out, because we're going to be intentional. We're going to need some help. We need as many ushers as we can get so that we can do this expeditiously. Thank you so much. I don't want you to take a card, and I need one too. I forgot to bring mine in with me. Oh, my goodness, Kim, can I use your glasses? These are not the red ones you wear, are they? I want us to have a heart for the homeless, those that need the family of Jesus, those that need to be born again into his family. You can't join this family. You've got to be born again into it. And we're going to give an opportunity just in a moment. We're going to come down and bring our cards. We're going to pray over them. And we're going to believe God that on the last Sunday of October, Fall Family Fun Day, we're going to see some new babies born into the kingdom. We're going to bring some people in to the house of God so that that opportunity can be extended. And I'll wait for all of you to get your card, and then I'll go over it, and then we're going to just bring them to the front together. You know, we have these events like Oktoberfest, and then we're going to be a part of the Rincon Parade and maybe Effingham County Fair Day. We're doing everything we can to get the message of Jesus where there's many people congregating so that we can touch people for the Lord. But, you see, sometimes it's just kind of easy to let somebody else do it for us. But I think all of you would agree with me that Jesus has called all of us, each of us, not the church just in general, but each of us to be a witness. See, I believe in relational evangelism. I believe that the Lord puts people in your life. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He'll open the door, and you can tell them about the Lord. There's some people with that gift of evangelism, they can just go from door to door. I don't have that gift, but that does not abdicate me from witnessing. I kind of believe that Peter and Philip, when he got Nathaniel and Andrew got Philip, that relational evangelism is more effective and actually more biblical. So all of us can be involved. I'm going to ask Pastor Les if you would come. But as you look at the card, we're going to ask you to just one person, not five or three, but one person or one family that you'd like to see come to faith in Jesus. Maybe they would testify to knowing Jesus, but they don't have a church home. And everybody needs a church family. Everybody needs a church home. And I'd like to join with you and say welcome home to that person. But as you look at your card, you don't have to do this today. We're going to give you some time to pray about it and ask the Lord to give you an open door. We're going to ask you to write down the name of one person you would like to see come into a personal relationship with Jesus, and or find a church if they're homeless in that sense. As the Holy Spirit lays that person on your heart, let's pray their eyes would be open. Are you just reading with me? Pray that their eyes would be open so they will see their need for a Savior. Pray their hearts would be receptive to the gospel. That their souls would be like that fertile soil Jesus talked about, that received the seed of the Word of God. Pray they will accept your invitation and any walls of resistance would be torn down. And then invite them to be your guest on Sunday, October the 30th for Fall Family Fun Day. Because we've got a heart for the homeless. We've got a passion for people. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. I hope that this campaign won't end today because we gave you a bracelet. Would you wear it just one more week? I won't ask you to wear it beyond that, but you know, this could become a conversation piece at work or at school. Somebody could say, well, what's your bracelet about? We'll just say, it's just who my church is. We have a heart for home. And our motto is, we welcome you home. We want to be a church that welcomes people in, and we just want to be reminded of that, and that's what we're about. And it may open up a door for you to talk to them about their faith or about their church, or if they don't have a church home. Not to get them from going to the church they're at, but to extend the love of Jesus. Personal responsibility. A heart. Do you have a passion? Paul says, the love of God compels me for the lost. Is that you? Is that me? We might need a new baptism in love and remember where Jesus found us. The pit that he dug us out of. Because here's the goal. Stand with me, would you please? Here's the goal. Jesus said in John 14, in verse 1, read it with me, would you? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. Now, wait a minute. Some of your Bible says many mansions. I don't know if the Bible translator had a weakness here, but it has a great message from the Greek. You know, I just soon to be in my Father's mansion. How about you? I don't know if, you know, we used to sing those songs, just build my mansion next door to Jesus. I want to live with Jesus. Anybody else? And it's okay with me because his mansion's going to be like a universal size for all of us. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. Listen to Jesus. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back. I will, he said, and take you to be with me. Are y'all reading with me? That you also may be where I am. Father, in the name of Jesus, help us not to leave our brother or our sister in the natural, or our co-worker or our student friend, our neighbor. Help us not to leave them without letting them know that there's a God who loves them. There's a hope in a world that offers none. Father, I pray that this campaign that concludes in this message series today will not conclude, but it will continue as we become a church that we have a heart for home and a heart for the homeless, heart for each other. And by this shall all men know that, and women know that, we're your disciples because we love each other. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing a closing chorus in just a minute, but I'm going to ask you to join with me. I want to ask you to bring your card, and we're going to pray over it with you about who the Lord would have you to have a divine appointment with, to bring with you on that Sunday. Would you come? Come from all over the building. Let's just stand in the altar together, and then we're going to pray for the needs. I'd like to ask Pastor Kevin if he could help me Come in close because we got a good number today, and I want everybody as much as we can to get up close and get involved. Pastor Kevin, would you just grab a couple of guys or girls and help me take the requests off the cross? The praise team is going to come up and help us sing. Let's lift our card up before the Lord. Would you do that right now? Just close your eyes and lift this card up. It represents a soul. It represents somebody that needs to spend eternity in heaven. It represents somebody that Jesus is passionate for and died for and shed his blood for. It represents somebody that you can reach. That, oh, my friend, let me tell you, if you've never led anybody to the Lord, this is not a time to feel condemned. But I just want to tell you, there's no greater joy in all the world than to know that you helped somebody find Jesus. And many of you have done that. You know that joy. The Bible says that the angels of heaven rejoice over one sinner that comes to repentance. More than 99 just people that live it. Oh, it's like a new birth in a family. In a natural family, it's joy. It's so refreshing. God wants to give you that experience to strengthen you. As you hold up this card, it represents that person that God's going to call you, calls you. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord, to realize that we can make a difference in somebody's eternity. Now, Father, as we hold these cards up, I'm praying that you would give your people in here divine appointments. I'm praying and asking, Father, for every person. Every person. Every person. To know that you're going to use them. You love to partner with us. We're your family. We're your people. And Lord, I come against doubt and reservation in the human. And I pray for divine boldness through the Holy Spirit to give divine appointments, open doors. Help us to be sensitive to your leading. And help us to reach people, one person at a time, for you, Jesus. Would you just now just kind of, just in your heart, if you don't want to do this physically, just kind of wave that card before the Lord and go ahead and start giving God praise. Go ahead and start thanking Him. Hallelujah. Jesus said, don't you rejoice because the demons were subject to you. You rejoice that your names were written in heaven. Let's just do a little rejoicing here on their behalf. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for a child that's been prayed over, is coming back home. Lord, I thank you, Father. I praise you, Lord, for that co-worker, that neighbor, that distant relative that's going to be touched by the gospel and the Holy Spirit. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Kevin, I'm going to ask you to find as many Sunday school teachers and councilmen and people up front here. And you're just people that you see there, just pass those requests out. Give them to everybody. Let's just bow our heads. We're going to pray over these needs. And as we pray, I want one too, Pastor Kevin. Y'all just gather around the leaders here. And hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody's asking here for prayer that there would be peace in their family. This is one of the most often asked for, just peace. I just want peace in my home. And then for a physical healing for somebody else, a kidney that needs to be healed. Whatever your request says, let's lift them up to the Lord. Just share them with the folks around you. Father, in the name of the Lord, God, we thank you for these people that entrusted us as your people to pray over their requests. Father, these that wrote these requests may be solid disciples of yours, or they may not know you, or they may be young in you. Father, whatever and wherever they are, Lord, we agree together right now in the name that's above every name, that if two or three are gathered together in your name, you said there you are in the midst of us, and you're here this morning. And if any two of you, you told us this, you promised us this, that if any two of you shall agree as touching anything on earth, that they should ask that our Father would do it for us. And we pray for peace in homes, and we pray for peace in relationship and healing for bodies and salvation for lost family members and friends. Lord, for direction, for decisions. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, God, and lift these up and agree together that healing and hope is going to rise from you, Lord. I'm praying, God, that we're going to hear testimonies. I'm praying that somebody's going to call up and say, Jesus answered my prayer. Thank you for praying for me. Not that we want the thanks, Lord, but as a testimony and as a witness, Lord, for your glory and for your praise, that we can rejoice together. We praise you. We bless you. And Father, if we don't ever know down here, it'll be worth it all in eternity. We thank you for working. We thank you for healing. We thank you for strengthening. We thank you for encouraging. We thank you for delivering. We praise you, Lord, for that. We bless you, Lord, for that. Would y'all just join with me? Let's give God thanks. Let's just go ahead and give him thanks right now for answering, hearing, and answering. Father, we thank you that we have this confidence. We bless you. We can go ahead and thank you for it. In Jesus' name. The Bible says we have this confidence. And if we ask anything in Jesus' name, according to his will, that he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have the petitions that we desire of him. Would you lift your hands and just right now, just accept that. Father, we accept that. We're confident in this, that this is your will as we prayed over these and these needs. And we thank you for it and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before we go, I'm serious about this, and I believe you are too. Let's sing Build Your Kingdom Here. Let's sing it with the praise team before we go today. Peace,
your kingdom's power.
No, keep your cards with you. These are yours.
The force of hell can't stop. Your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom's
Lord, we need choice in you. We praise you for who you are, what you're doing. That prayer. Yes, he is. Amen. Father, in the name of the Lord, as we go now, We've come and now we go. We've gathered, now we want to scatter into our world and be salt, be light. We thank you for that. And I'm praying, Father, for the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and infuse us and empower us afresh and anew to be your people, your church. And we'll be eternally grateful for all that you do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you Wednesday night. The Lord bless you.